Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Ecotourism is fast becoming one of the most desirable ways to take a break. Take an adventure in cross-cultural communication, purposeful travel, self-education, and even saving the planet when we return. We explore it all here on the Wildside News. This past weekend, I was off to Washington, D.C., where I walked my talk, and then talked and walked amongst some wonderful, earth-friendly, eco-literate folks at the Green Festival held at the Washington, D.C. Convention Center. I met my audience, and they are an impressive bunch. There were hundreds of booths purveying foods, furnishings, fashions, and friendly souls exploring the many realms of a sustainable world. Well, that world is filled with wonder and opportunities, particularly to those who venture out through ecotourism.
We keep hoping that we can manage to find a way to see this beautiful planet and all of the most amazing mysteries and wonders. And I'm talking with someone who promotes this from A to Z, who's Martha Honey, who's with the International Ecotourism Society. Let's have you talk about that first.
The International Ecotourism Society, or TIES, T-I-E-S, is the oldest and largest ecotourism association in the world. We were founded in 1990. We have members in about 90 countries around the world, and we also serve as a kind of umbrella organization for some 30 to 40 nationally based or regionally based ecotourism associations. Our purpose, we're a non-governmental organization, an NGO, and our purpose is to help promote good practices both within the industry and among travelers.
A lot of people have traveled before, and really the world is changing a lot. What response are you getting from people who are out there revisiting the world these days?
Well, you know, I think that what we've seen is that during the 1990s, this concept of ecotourism, which actually has its origins back in the late 70s, in part growing out of the growing worldwide environmental movement. But by the 1990s, ecotourism had become the fastest growing sector of the tourism industry. Now, it was starting very small, but it was growing very fast, somewhere between 20 and 34% a year, whereas overall tourism was growing at 9% a year. And it remains, it has, even though since 2000, there's been all sorts of things that have buffeted the tourism industry, from natural disasters like the hurricane in Katrina and the tsunami in Asia to terrorism and the war on terrorism and an economic recession. For all those reasons, tourism has taken a hit, but what we have seen is that ecotourism has remained strong. And if we've been doing a lot of analysis and looking at surveys and so on, and the demand for what we could call ecotourism or responsible travel is strong among tourists. The majority of people, somewhere around 80 to 90% in the U.S., in Europe, and in Australia, say that they want to travel in ways that do not damage the environment. Close to equal numbers to that say that they want to learn something when they travel about the culture where they're visiting, about the people they're visiting, and so on. So these are very good numbers. What we also find, though, on the sort of downside, is that very few people do much about it. It's a broad desire, but it's not an activist community. And so one of the missions of TIES, of the Ecotourism Society, is to try to give people the tools so that they can be more active when they travel, that they can really know where to go, so that they can find the good companies to go with, so that they can personally travel in ways that are more responsible and so on, that they can really practice what their beliefs are without too much trouble. And there are a growing number, our website and a growing number of other websites, that are really helping travelers to do that, as well as the guidebooks are beginning to reflect, you know, a number of them have sections on ecotourism, on sustainable tourism, and so on. And a lot of countries are beginning to sort of market themselves as being environmentally responsible, Costa Rica being one of the leading examples of that. Even here in the U.S., we're beginning to see a growth of ecotourism. We just had a major conference. It was the first ever conference looking at ecotourism in the U.S., and with over 300 people came to Bar Harbor, Maine, in mid-September to discuss what's going on here in this country. And there are several statewide ecotourism associations, Hawaii, Alaska, West Virginia, and a couple of others, and many more that are in the works. So I think that it's becoming easier to find good ecotourism places, but it does take a little bit of work. And what we're saying is that we need to be as responsible when we travel as we are when we pick a school for our kids or buy a home or purchase our coffee in the morning or whatever. We have to build that kind of ethic of research and sort of activism into our travel as well.
Well, let's say that I wasn't that familiar. I'd heard the term. It sounds interesting.
Right.
Something that makes a lot of sense. But then I say, but what does it really mean? How can coming to you, for example, help that person better define what it is that they'd like to accomplish?
Okay, well, let me tell you what to us it means. I think there are three components to it that are most important. It is that a person's travel, you should travel in ways that are light on the land and provide tangible benefits to conservation. So for very specific things like going to national parks and paying the entrance fees, trying to, if there's projects that are supporting local conservation groups where you're traveling, trying to make a contribution to those kinds of activities. The second tenet of ecotourism is that it should be respectful of local cultures and, again, provide tangible benefits to local communities. So make sure that you're buying locally, that the lodge or the hotel where you're staying is locally owned. You're very consciously trying to put money into the local economy, not supporting those internationally owned hotels that where most of the money goes out. It's called leakage. It goes out of the host country. So you travel in ways that put money into the local economy. And if there are local projects that your hotel or your tour operator is supporting, try to support those local NGOs or whatever. And then the third tenet is that you should travel in ways that are, of course, enjoyable, but also educational, that you travel with a view to learning something when you travel. Vacations are much more these days than just simply going and lying on a beach in Cancun. And what we find is that this is really sort of good news, because people come back from these vacations saying, wow, why didn't I do that before? I learned so much. It was enjoyable. I felt good about what I was doing. This is the way I want to travel from now on. So it really is just taking some steps before you travel, thinking about things as you travel. We call it your travel choice makes a difference. And we have a section on our website, www.ecotourism.org, called Travel Choice. And on that, we have some of the most responsible companies around the world, tour operators, lodges, and so on. And we also have tips for what you should do when you travel.
You know, one of the fun things about this as well, and all the points, well, you know what you're talking about. This is great. But it's also the fact that what we're really doing here to a large degree is beginning to globalize this sustainable vision.
That's right.
And it's one thing to go and see, but it's also another thing to actually do something, because we really do have to get our hands and our bodies out there to make a difference. This is really this is a hands-on experience. I would guess, and you can respond to this, but I get my goosebumps, okay? But a lot of people who go on these events come back really charged up with a new sense of mission and realize that they can actually do something.
Right. That's absolutely right. And we call this, one of the ways you can do it is through something that we call Travelers Philanthropy. This is a growing movement by the most responsible tourism companies to identify and then support projects in their host communities. This can be an AIDS orphanage, as Mikado Safaris is doing in Kenya. It can be schools and hospitals, as CC Africa is doing in South Africa. It can be community center, as a number of places, or schools, as a number of places, hotels in Costa Rica are doing, lodges in Costa Rica are doing. There's a whole variety of things that can go on. Lindblad Expeditions is supporting the Charles Darwin Research Center and the National Parks and the Galapagos, whole variety of projects. And what this means is that both on your trip you can make a donation to help support these projects, and when you come back you can continue to be involved in these projects, so that you can both in a way relive your vacation but also stay connected with the places that you've traveled. So we really see this whole growth of what we call travelers philanthropy. We had a major conference on this at Stanford University in 2004. We see this as a growing movement for corporate social responsibility within the tourism industry, and it's also a way that travelers can, again, think more profoundly about the kind of traveling they're doing and the responsibility that they have as a traveler.
I'm not going to ask you what you think is your favorite one, because but everybody hits you with that. And quite honestly, the best thing to do is for people to go to the website and and just kind of become familiar. Why don't you repeat the website?
Yes, the website is www.ecotourism.org. And we're also a membership organization, and there's membership from travelers, you know, just come people who are interested in ecotourism, on up to businesses and NGOs and so on. So, you know, we also welcome new members and would love for people to check out the website.
Fun thing could be family ecotours. Is that happening?
Yes, it is. And we have several members of TIES, of the Ecotourism Society, specialize in family tours. In fact, a number of them do. Some of them do only family tours, and some of them run family tours and organize them. And absolutely, I mean, we learn through it. Now that my kids are grown, I can say this, having seen it through the different stages, but we learn through the eyes of our kids. And again and again and again, we hear that it's, you know, they took the kids on a vacation and they learned because the kids were interested in recycling, the kids were interested in the local community, the kids wanted to go visit that school and so on. And so kids are helping the parents become better travelers. And it's a great way to travel. We're seeing three generations also now traveling, grandparents, parents, and kids going. And there are all sorts of wonderful places. That's one of the nice things, that ecotourism is a way to provide intergenerational travel in a way that in the past we sort of, you know, we didn't. It was just one generation. You sent the kids to camp, the parents went off, and the grandparents went off all separately. And now we're really seeing families traveling together.
You have a book out.
I've got a couple of books, but the one that is sort of most popular is called Ecotourism and Sustainable Development, Who Owns Paradise? And that looks at seven destinations around the world and sort of looks at their ecotourism policies, how strong it is, how, and so on, and tries to put it in context. I'm doing a new edition of that, which I hope will be out next year. And then I have another book on certification called Ecotourism and Certification, because this is a growing movement within the ecotourism and sustainable tourism field, something that I feel is extremely important because it's a way of countering what we call greenwashing. It's a way of separating the wheat from the chaff so that you really know who are the genuine companies, because they've passed muster in a whole variety of environmental, social, and economic criteria.
We do have to be careful that people aren't just calling it ecotourism and
absolutely works
absolutely in the opposite direction.
That's right. I mean, one of the things that I learned in doing this first book, looking at ecotourism in seven different destinations, was that there's an awful lot of really spectacular projects out there. I mean, people really doing tourism with strong ethical values and in responsible ways. There's also a lot of scams and shams out there. And I sort of divided the ecotourism world into three sectors. The genuine ecotourism businesses, what I call ecotourism light, those places that, for instance, maybe give you just the opportunity not to wash your sheets and towels every day, but are doing nothing else. And then those just, you know, flat-out greenwashing scams that are only using green language and there's nothing green about them. And there's a bunch of those too. So you have to, you know, you have to be a smart traveler and you have to get beyond the labels, because there are an awful lot of labels and marketing out there, and really look behind to see, you know, what are the practices of the companies that you're using.
One of the things that I'm a little concerned about, and I hate to admit this, and that is loving something to death. To what degree can this backfire on us?
Absolutely. And good ecotourism sets limits. It looks at how many people can go, should go, to a place to keep it the way it is, to not ruin it. And also can say, good ecotourism should say in some cases, nobody should go here. It's extremely important that if the area is owned by or there are indigenous people there, that they make the decision as to whether or not there is tourism in that area, and then what kind of tourism. And we have to set limits. We're seeing places that are being loved to death with too many tourists, uncontrolled tourism, and pretty soon it's mass tourism, and then it's ruined. So absolutely, ecotourism is also about limits.
Talk with Martha Honey, who's added her voice to the Wild Side News. Give your website again and the name of your organization.
The International Ecotourism Society, TIES, and the website is www.ecotourism.org.
Thanks for being on the Wild Side News.
Thank you for having me.
as has been stated so many ways for thousands of years, out of the chaos comes the opportunity. I encourage each of you to take control of your own future in new ways and help those who now must adapt to forge this nation and this world into one that is meant for us all, the living wonder of life on earth. So until we meet again, this is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios. Until next time, or any time on the archives, when your voice of the earth will ring around the world in the global network of peace and wonder here on the Wild Side News.